Hello, we're somewhere in the month of Adarshani here. I'm getting on the way to Purim, and it's also March. And we're going to continue discussing Parnassa. We started last time, the time before, about trusting only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Parnassa. And what is that trust we have in Hashem about livelihood? That Hashem will prepare whatever a person's needs are and a person's food according to what is called sipuko, what is enough and necessary for the person. Let's keep reading. Sometimes new opportunities come up to make more money, and they push us out of not just our comfort zone, but out of where we really should be, out of our limits. And then they detract from our quality of life. Are we supposed to pursue such parnassa enterprises? Says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, below yichol kashav, the hour, the moment should not push the person, or the person shouldn't push the moment, whichever one he's telling us, but they're both true. One should not overdo lirdo achar kama inyonim, to run after, to pursue lots of different topics, lots of different activities, more jobs, more and more. That distract the person from being busy learning Torah. Now let's analyze this a little bit. If a person is making money and has enough, then that person's not supposed to say, I really want to make more and more and more. The question is, where do we draw the line? This is really confusing and ambiguous, let's face it. So the answer is, he's going to help us understand this. But there's one red flag that indicates that I'm overdoing it. I'm being mishtadel more than necessary. And that red flag is when I am not learning enough Torah, I'm not teaching enough Torah if I'm supposed to be, or I'm not being the person I'm supposed to be with my interpersonal relationships. When a person will trust in Hashem, yimtza, he will find menuchas libo, the restfulness of his heart. Instead of feeling uptight and having a lack of contentedness, the person will feel the opposite sensation. It will be menuchas libo. The person's heart will rest. That means you might say, wait, I thought we're not in this world for rest. I mean, Maseilas Yesharim says, I quoted to you, lo limnuchahu ba'olam hazeh. Whoa, we're not here to relax. So what is the Aruch HaTzaddikim talking about? Isn't it a contradiction? He says we have menuchas libo. That's supposed to be my goal. I thought we're not here to rest. Obviously, you know that it's not a contradiction because we're supposed to find menuchas libo with inner tranquility, with peace of mind when we arrive at the proper level of bitachon and emunah. But to rest bodily and to just relax and be lazy, that's not why we're in this world. So there's two different types of restfulness. One of them is menuchas libo. That is our objective. It's to have peace of mind. But menuchas gufo is actually the opposite. That will not give us peace of mind. If I overindulge my body in enjoyment and relaxation, then I will actually achieve the opposite of menuchas libo. Really, one is exclusive of the other. If I pursue more and more relaxation for my physical existence and my body, then I will detract from my menuchas libo. If I don't rest so much on my bodily side of things, and I work hard and I learn hard and I exercise, then I'll achieve menuchas halev. Bishalvas nafsho, the tranquility of the person's soul. We all want to feel tranquility. So comes along the Aruch HaTzaddikim and says that if I will conceptualize what the inyan of parnasa is all about, and I'll realize that when I have enough, that means Hashem is taking care of me, I will have shalvas nafsho. The opposite of shalva is unrest. Shalva means tranquility. And then there's the opposite. There's the lack of tranquility. We're supposed to go toward tranquility. It reminds me this morning, so we know we changed the clocks, and more than ever, it's pitch black, literally nighttime outside when I walk to shul. And this morning, I was walking, and almost right from the beginning, there started to be strange sounds. There's a lot of wildlife around here, and adding to the fact that it's definitely nighttime. So I'm walking on the sidewalk, and about probably 6 inches from me, there's a sudden, what I considered a loud sound. And I realized, oh, that was just a bird taking off. And then around 5 minutes later, there's another one. Oh, that was a squirrel. And I said to myself, I'm jumping out of my skin here as I walk to school. Each time something happens, I guess I'm a little jumpy. And then I remember that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Haggadah Shel Pesach that we have to remember that whenever we walk somewhere, whenever we drive somewhere, whenever we take a plane or a bus or a train, there's no such thing as an uneventful trip. This trip that I'm taking to shul, and all these sounds are coming and distracting me, startling me, and creeping me out, that's because I need to remember that there are so many factors, so many detractors from tranquility that Hashem is constantly guarding us from. And I said to myself, this is a reminder. These are not scary. That's just because I'm a little jumpy and it's pitch black outside because we just changed the clocks. Much of the year, it's that way in Cincinnati and some other places. You walk to shul and it's nighttime still, or it's close to being nighttime. But it reminded me of the piece that Rav Moshe says, that one of the mitzvahs of the Seder, which is coming up, is to remind us that Hashem is constantly intervening, kaviyachol, preventing harmful forces from accessing us. And which one of the mitzvahs is a Pesach Matzah Umarar that reminds us about that? You got it. It's definitely Karban Pesach. Because when we sit in the house and we eat the Karban Pesach, as Hashem passed over your houses, did not bring you Makas Bechoros, but where were we when that was happening? You got it. Vatem lo seitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. We were not allowed to leave the house. That means we didn't see what we were being saved from. We were not allowed to even leave the doorway of our houses until the morning. And there were reasons for that. But the point that Rav Moshe brings out is, this is constantly happening to us. I bet you most people who are learning here today probably walked somewhere today or drove somewhere or got a ride somewhere. And we asked, how is your trip? Oh, it was an uneventful trip. Wrong. It was very eventful. There was tons of all types of entities and creatures and people who could have hurt us. But Hashem is constantly actively preventing them from doing that. That's why I got a reminder when I heard these little sounds. I said, oh, that's reminding me that there are big stuff out there that Hashem is saving us from. And that's part of shalva. We're supposed to arrive at that shalva. We're not supposed to be in a state of unrest and jittery. And, you know, sometimes we can't help it. That's our nature. But the bottom line is we're supposed to arrive at this realization that Hashem loves us. And he's taking care of me every second. Everything that comes my way is a reminder that there's so many other things out there that Hashem constantly saves me from. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim, in his eloquent, magnificent style, says that a person can arrive at shalvas nafsho. What a wonderful goal in life, to have tranquility of soul below yirdof yosem midai. A person doesn't need to be running, more and more jobs, more and more parnasa. Some people need to take on other jobs to have enough money to support a family. But there's a limit to that. And then once we arrive at that, we're supposed to say, okay, genug, die, that's enough. Lo yirdof yosem midai. Sometimes the challenging point and the part is to make that decision. Has it been yosem midai? Should I stop here? People tell us that if we have enough money and we have enough food and provisions for the foreseeable future, whatever that would be defined as, then we should have bitachon that that's what I have is enough, as we're going to see very soon. Ahi yelo dai, it should be enough for the person, b'mashe yochol limtzo b'shoah miyuchedes, in what the person is able to find at a specific time, b'shoah miyuchedes. That's exactly how it was in the Midbar with the man. B'hashaos hanish'aros, and the remaining moments and hours of our lives, what are we supposed to be doing? Not worrying and not thinking, what would it be if I have another job, another source of income? Maybe it would be better. No. Hashavos hanisharos yitrach bahen. The person needs toil to labor, liknos chaye olam haba, to acquire life of the world to come. That means there has to be a limit and a cap. So I would tell you what the way it works with me is that if I am looking into another possible source of income, so I'll look at how it's going to impact what I absolutely have to be doing and my main parts of my life, my functions, and if it's going to pull away and it's going to detract from the quality of all of that that's absolutely compulsory for me to be doing, which is also labors of love, then I say, oh, that's not for me. And sometimes we need a little guidance. We need to talk it out, either with a spouse or with Das Torah or both. V'chein Amru, the Chazal said also, Tarbe b'yeshiva, you should increase the amount of sitting you do to learn, meaning to concentrate on spirituality, on Torah, and minimize how much business ventures and involvement you have. Ase divrei Torah ikar, make the words of Torah the mainstay of your life. That is the principal activity of life. V'yishkecha tofel, your other involvements, other ventures, other investments of time is supposed to be secondary, not central, not the main thing. Okay, here we go. Taking a deep breath because he's about to say something monumental. This matter, this balance, this decision, it's the greatest among a person's challenges. Whoa, that's a superlative statement there. The greatest challenge. We have a moment now. This is the greatest nisayon that a person has, the Aruch HaTzaddikim asserts. What is the greatest challenge and test that a person has? Shelo yatridu oso rov tirdos shel olam zeh. That the myriad distractions of this world will not distract the person, will not pull him off the path, will not derail him. And he'll forget his end. He'll forget, why am I here? So that exactly, we know that the Maseiros Yesharim says that that's what Paro was trying to do. Paro represents the Yetzirah. He said, Tichbad havod ahanashim v'yasu ba, v'al yishu b'divrei sheker. Well, Maseiros Yesharim says, the Paro's methodology is the Yetzirah methodology. Just do more other stuff, get distracted, be uptight, be upset, be anxious, be worried, be sad, be depressed. As long as you don't learn Torah, as long as you don't further your spiritual endeavors and progress, then that's what the Yetzirah wants. Just don't learn. My Rebbe in ninth grade said to us, Rabbi Kassenstein, we were the tender young 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. He said, the Yetzirah, for men especially, will let you do anything but learn. Because the biggest mitzvah for a man is to learn Torah. So he'll be happy as long as you don't learn. And this is every single day we have this. The Yetzirah is something, this has to be done, this has to be done, that has to be taken care of. Learning, oh wait, I know I'm supposed to learn. Wait, I'll get to it later. That's the Yetzirah. That's why it helps to have quotas. Some people have learning quotas. It's an incentive. Sometimes people need to be goal-oriented. Well, that quota is going to get done no matter what. Kol k'vo yavor. And if I know that I'm going to be doing that learning quota, whatever it is, Gemara, Mishnayos, whatever the person is doing, Shnai Mikra, I know that for months and years and decades, this is my daily quota. And if I don't finish it before nighttime, I'll be doing it lying down as I fall asleep at night, and I might not get that quota. Well, that's a real incentive. Because if I don't have that, it works for me, by the way. It doesn't work for everybody. Everybody has different things that make them tick. But if I have a quota that I have to finish, and it's a challenging but attainable one, it could be very challenging, but it's also attainable, it's doable, then I know that I'm not going to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to stay connected to Hashem through Torah. I know that I'm going to. We need to learn Torah and support Torah emotionally and financially, and then we know that we're connected with Hashem. But the Yetzirah says, do everything but learn. Lachain, therefore, Yiftach Bakel. What's the bottom line about Parnassa? The person needs to trust in Hashem, Teyaspikehu Tzuracha V'Sipuko, that Hashem will supply him his needs and what is sufficient for him, like the word maspik. Hashem will give me what's enough. As a result, Biyulo Shos Penuyos. Therefore, the person will have a lot of free time. This has freed up the time. Lefanos Libo Lelokim, to turn his heart to Hashem. That is the second topic we talk on. It's about trusting in Hashem regarding Parnassa. Now let's look at the third one. Habitachon HaShlishi. What is the third trust in Hashem at today's halfway mark? And again, the Aruch HaTzaddikim said he's very organized, so he divides up a person's life into different types of bitachon, and each one has to be given the proper attention. The third one is Be'inyan Ishto, is regarding the person's wife or spouse, Uvanav, the person's children, Ukrova, the person's relatives, but Ovav, the person's close friends. Most people have at least one of those. Many people have all of them. Rarely does somebody have none of those. But there are those like that also, as he talks about afterward. Im haboteach hazeh. Because there is a type of person who's a loner, who might literally be alone. If the one who trusts in Hashem, who nachri, the ger, he's like a foreigner and a stranger. Now, what is that supposed to mean anyway? Let's just stop for a second. It could be that it's literal. This person does not have a spouse. This person doesn't have children. Or maybe the person's children live far away. Maybe the person has a spouse, but sometimes they feel alone from each other because people have different ways of thinking. And also there are times, there are ups and downs. A person has no children sometimes, and a person might have no relatives close by or that have communication, and a person might have no close friends. So first, the Orchos Tzadikim addresses the loner or the person who feels like a loner. And that could also fit into this. And there could be certain times in life that a person feels like a nochri vager. I'm trying to make this understandable to myself that this is not necessarily literally that way. A person might have relatives, but the person might be going through an emotional crisis or some kind of time period where the person feels alone, isolated. Sometimes there's no human being who understands what I'm thinking. There's not one human being who really gets me. Hopefully that's not the case, but sometimes in certain situations it might be true. Maybe Hashem wants it to be that way. No person can fully understand another person. That's for sure true. So taking all this into account, what is this person supposed to do? That's a very dismal situation as it sounds. Is a nochri beger below Isha with no wife, no spouse, or krovim, no relative, v'chaverim, no friends. Sometimes a person says, I don't have any friends, or I don't have any friends who understand me. What should the person do? Yikach ho Elokim l'korov o l'chaver. This person, every person, needs to take Hashem as a relative and as a friend. Hashem is my friend. He's my relative. He's the one I speak to, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, as if a person speaking to Chavero, a person standing, a friend right in front of me. I know he's Avinu Malkeinu. We have the utmost respect, reverence, fear, but we also have love of a child to a parent, of a friend to a friend. It says, Shir Hashirim, Perkei Pasuk Tes Zayin. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my beloved friend. This is my companion. Hashem is my companion. This is Klal Yisrael speaking. It's every single Jew speaking. If I don't think I have any friends, if I think nobody understands me, if I'm in a crisis point, every single second, every millisecond, Hashem is my beloved. Hashem is my friend. And by the way, if a person adopts this attitude, then it works better with the person's relatives and friends also, because then the person is not as emotionally dependent in an unhealthy way on one's relatives and friends, because that's also too heavy for some people. No person wants someone else to be totally dependent emotionally, because human beings have limits. Every human being has limitations. So this is a great policy to implement every single day, even if a person is surrounded with a spouse and with children, with friends and relatives. Even in that case, Zedodi v'zerei, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Hashem is my ultimate best beloved friend and companion. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I told you, Rabbi Wein told us this story, my Rosh Yeshiva, after the Holocaust, a chassid came to his Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I have nobody. I'm absolutely despondent, depressed. He lost everybody, chas v'shalom, in the Holocaust. He said, I don't have friends. I have nobody left. What should I do? I don't think I can go on this way. And what did the Rebbe say to him? He said, do you have a Gemara in your house? He said, yeah, I have Gemara. I have a Shas in my house, at least a few volumes of it. So then open the Gemara. That's your friend. Because when we learn the Gemara, Hashem's talking to us. The Ribbono Shalom speaks to us through the Torah. Also, remember, there's two Rosh Yeshiva. One of them davens a really long Shmoneh Esrei, and the other one, and in many yeshivas, some of the Rebbeim, they daven shorter Shmoneh Esreis. It was the same thing in my yeshiva. I remember one Rebbe, notably, would finish before everybody else. So the famous story goes, they asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, everybody else davening is a long Shmoneh Esrei. How come the Rebbe davens a shorter Shmoneh Esrei? Not necessarily the most appropriate question. So the Rebbe said, I'll tell you what. When I am davening, I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when I stop my Shemoneh Esrei, I'm waiting for the Chazaras Hashat to begin for the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. I take out my Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me. And therefore, I am more fond in a certain way of Hashem speaking to me through the Torah. We open up a Chumash, we open up the Navi, we open up the Gemara and the Mishnah, and we see the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking to us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to us. Ah, they're not even there ready. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the Rebbe told his Chassid. Open the Gemara, see what Rabba says, see what Abaya says, see what Rebbe Yishmael says, see what Rebbe Akiva says. You know what? They are transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's the word of Hashem. Hashem speaking to you. Do you feel special now that Hashem's speaking to you? God is speaking to you because He loves you. That's the Torah that we have. Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Tremendous kavana we can have. So, what is that Nasamanu es Torah so? Hashem speaks to us every day through the Chachamim who transmit the Torah. You ever notice we say Rashi says? The Rashbam says, the Ramban says, nobody says past tense, they said. No, they're speaking to us now. That should make me really feel special that the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to me through these Chachamim, through the Torah. It should make me feel love. Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. It's through the Torah, especially, we connect to Hashem. V'yachshov, says the Orcha Sadikim, what should the loner, or the person who feels like a stranger and a loner, what should he think to himself? Call me Sheyesh Lo Krovim. Any person who has relatives. Now, this is going to sound pretty drastic, so we better stop for a second and reflect on what he's about to tell us. What he's trying to tell us, even a person who is surrounded with relatives and friends, no guarantee that that's going to be forever. There's no guarantee because call me Sheyesh Lo Krovim. Any person who has relatives, after a short amount of time, Yashuv Nochri Uvadod Yeshev, it's very possible that this person will sit as a stranger, or he'll go back to being as a stranger, and he will sit alone. Now, what is he talking about here? What does this mean? Well, there's a few interpretations you could say. Number one, there is no guarantee in the world that a relative or a friend will be there forever. So what does that help me to know that? The way it helps me to know it is, okay, so therefore I have to realize there's only one relative and one friend who's going to be there forever. And yeah, you got it. Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you trying to do in this little vod? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm trying to create stability in my life and to maintain it. And the stability is created by realizing that there's only one real stability, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, I will not be upset at people who are disappointed in me or at me, nor will I be disappointed in other people, because life in this world is transitory, and so are relationships. Hopefully, they're lifelong relationships. They last till 120 years, but most of the time they don't. And even if they do, they're not supposed to be overloaded with emotion and dependency. So as a result, the Orcha Sadikim, now we are going to tread with caution, as he says this, but people who have relatives eventually don't have them, and they don't have those friends. Well, we know that friends are changing all the time, and sometimes relatives are. What I mean is they move in town, they move out of town, below Yoel Oso, and eventually it will not help the person. Below Karo, not a relative. Below Vain, not a child. Below Chaver, and not a friend. Not one of them will be joined with him anymore. Again, what he means is that no relationships are guaranteed forever, except Zedodi Bezerei. This only one, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam, is guaranteed forever. Now, isn't that beautiful that there's something that has a lifetime and an after-lifetime guarantee? That's the relationship that Bnei Yisrael has with Hashem. That's the kasher, that's the relationship that I have with Hashem. That is guaranteed forever. Isn't that a source of magnificent, enormous stability to know that there's something that does last forever? That's my relationship with Hashem, as we learned last time. It escorts and accompanies us through this world, through the next world, through all worlds. But we shouldn't be depending on people for everlasting relationships, or relationships that are without failure, or without variety, or without different degrees of loyalty. Those things should not be tormenting us. People get tormented because they're disappointed by other people. Comes along the Aruch HaTzaddikim, says, don't be tormented by that. Don't be tortured emotionally. There are people who go through life tortured by what they feel is a failed relationship, is a failure in raising somebody, a failure in relating to someone. We should really put all that aside and focus on doing our best to enhance our relationship with Hashem, and of course with other people, and to try to correct mistakes, to try to be as perfect as we can, but to realize that human beings have shortcomings and we all have limits. And then the Aruch HaTzaddikim says that if a person doesn't have so many relatives or friends to deal with, he should realize that actually that is a kindness, because when a person has many relationships, especially children to take care of, that's a tirda. That's also a distract from the relatives who are incumbent upon this person, that the person's dependents and responsibilities to take care of. V'yachshav zeh l'tova. And he should think of it as a favor from Hashem when he doesn't have as much to be accountable for regarding relationships. Because if he had a lot of involvement in matters of this world, he'd have a lot of toil, a lot of labor, a lot of distraction. Again, he's talking to the person who either doesn't have relatives and friends, or perceives that he doesn't have them, or he or she feels alone. So at that moment, take a time to reflect and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave me some freedom now from having to have this, you know, the intricacies of this relationship. I will now reflect on my direct relationship with you. And if a person is busy dealing with his or her end, meaning our goal and purpose in this world, to reflect on Torah and Chesed and everything else, and how to enhance our fulfillment of mitzvot and the observance, the yichud libo lelukim, and directing and unifying and devoting one's heart to Hashem, one's heart will be more free and also dedicated levado, at the time the person is alone, below krova, without his relative, and suffer, there's no doubt. In conclusion for today, we want to make sure we leave with the proper impression. Of course we promote loving, affectionate, devoted relationships between relatives and friends. But if there are times that we don't experience those relationships, for whatever reason they are, either we feel alone, or we are actually alone temporarily, or for long periods of time, or short periods of time, it's a moment to think, Yudke Vavke, the Ribbono Shel Olam is my friend, he's my beloved. And then, of course, we go back to having those relationships. We always need Hashem to help us to know how to deal with them properly. And Mr. Hashem, next time, we're going to reflect, finishing up the topic of the quote-unquote loner, the one who feels alone, or the one who is alone, and then we're going to get into how to deal with real relationships with people, with relatives and friends. Hashem should help guide us, and we should have a very happy Adar. Thank you so much for joining. It was wonderful to learn with you today.